This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now here's the change. Now Brunson's going to be taking the ball back. Out of bounds. Can he get it back? Little dribble handoff here. Towns, Brunson up for the lead!
Oh, man!
With time on the clock, but how much?
He could not have asked, if you're Jalen Brunson, for a better look. It was a fake dribble handoff. Brunson went back door, going to his strong hand, his strong way. Not a defender in sight. This has got to be a bucket. Oh, he is going to be kicking himself. What a look there by Brunson.
I thought the Knicks were done right there.
Whew. I mean, that was the NBA Clutch Player of the Year as presented by Kia, and he couldn't get that to stick.
Ugh. Can't really ask for a better look.
I was going to say, and that was the formula for the Knicks. Knicks somehow, whatever it is, keep it close for 47 minutes, 47 and a half minutes, and then if Brunson has the ball late, maybe he can pull it off. And
yeah,
they
I
had a chance.
That was the exact formula.
Yeah, yeah.
How I thought the Knicks could take a game or two from the Celtics in this series, and look, that I was wrong about. I thought Brunson would come through in a spot like that. And I thought that's how the Celtics would lose. And I don't know, maybe you ended up losing the game either way. I guess I don't know what one's worse. Like, what would be more shocking? Brunson walking it off there? And, you know, would that leave more of a mark, or the way they lost in overtime? That's more frustrating.
I think
you
it's way more frustrating to lose in overtime and be like, all right, all that bad second half aside, you're at home, 5 minutes, figure it out. Beat them for 5 minutes, and you win this game.
And the Knicks, I mean, on some level, tried to give you the game, right? Brunson didn't hit that shot. It gave you another chance at home in overtime. They missed a bazillion free throws last night, and it was a lot of Mitchell Robinson, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I don't like that approach from Joe Mazzulla. I didn't like it in real time. He was 3-for-10 last night, but Hart stunk shooting free throws. Brunson missed a free throw in there, as did Anunoby. So it was really the full team. The Knicks were trying to give you one, and you still couldn't take it, because you couldn't make a shot all night. Do you have any newfound respect for the Knicks? Like, a lot of us were talking about them going into the series. Even me, I gave them a couple of games, but I didn't think they had any chance. I called them a soft team. You know, we were mocking them in the matchup for most of it. We were mocking them against the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
And, like, one thing I'm starting to wonder, and let's see, I don't want to overreact to it after one game, and then have the Celtics rip off 4 in a row and win it in 5.
Yeah.
But I am starting to wonder, the way we talked about the Knicks and the Pistons, we talked about it like the Pistons gagged it away.
Yes.
And in this game, the Celtics blew a 20-point lead. We're talking about it like the Celtics gagged it away.
Yeah.
Is there any newfound respect for the Knicks and their ability to dig in and pull out these games late? Like, should we give them credit for constantly, so far anyway, in this postseason, winning games like this?
Not yet. I'm not there yet. I can't do it yet. I think the Pistons clearly weren't ready for it. And as much as I like Cade Cunningham and thought he had an unbelievable season, you could tell he wasn't ready for that moment. The rest of the team wasn't ready for that moment. They'd play well when it was a little bit more free and easy, and then they would just choke down the stretch. This was a game where it's not like the Knicks played good defense on a lot of those missed threes. The Celtics, they had wide open looks, and they were just missing everything. So I still think that, you know, I mean, hell, I was wrong. I thought the Celtics were going to sweep them. So just based off of that, sure, I got to give the Knicks a little bit more credit than I had going in. But I also wouldn't rule out the Celtics still ripping off 4 straight wins. And then we look at it like, oh, they were down in the series, but they still won in 5. Like, I could still see that playing out.
So to your point, the Celtics took the NBA deems 4 tight free throws last night between 2 and 3 pointers rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Between 2 and 4 feet. So they were 1-for-4 on those. They took 32 open, quote-unquote, three-pointers. That's 4 to 6 feet of space.
Okay.
They were 7 out of 32. That's 22%. In the regular season, they shot 35% on those. 6-plus feet, wide open. They took 24 of them, made 7, 29%. In the regular season, they made 41%.
I mean, these are not hand-in-the-face threes. These are wide open.
And so I agree with you to a point. Like, on the Knicks, were they defending well last night? Not really. No. I mean, they forced some turnovers on Tatum. I don't want to say their defense was, you know, non-existent. I think they gave a little more, you know, they were a little more difficult to play against than we probably talked about going in, but they still gave up a million open looks. I wouldn't want Mazzulla or Stevens or anybody upstairs, Mike Zarin, to just shrug their shoulders and go, ah, well, we just missed some open shots and that's all we got to do and the shots will fall in game two and it's a make-miss league and blah, blah, blah. I would hate to for that to be their takeaway. Like, the Knicks kind of took it to them.
Yeah.
And the Knicks have some skill, and I wouldn't take it lightly and just chalk it up to, well, we just missed 45 threes. That'll never happen again, because that's a good way to lose a series.
That's true. Yeah. If you just want to change absolutely nothing. And, you know, Jalen Brunson, even though he missed the shot at the end there, he was so good in that fourth quarter and then was cold in overtime, and yet they had the other guys that were there to pick him up, right? So it wasn't just like the Jalen Brunson show, but he was so good in the fourth quarter. And the Celtics didn't really have an answer for it at that time. Like, they are skilled, right? And, like, I think we all acknowledge that. Even the ones picking sweeps said, you know, the Magic have Paolo Banchero, who's a really good ascending player who might be in the top 25 in the league. Jalen Brunson might be a top 10 player, like top 15 player. Karl-Anthony Towns probably top 15, 20.
A better Isaiah. Right? Like, when Isaiah was here, Isaiah made, I think, a second team All-NBA.
He did make one of those, yeah.
And, like, Brunson is a much better version, but, like, he's that level of player where he's probably not a first teamer, but, you know, he's had a nice run now where he went to a Western Conference final in Dallas. He's done good things in New York. Like, he's, like, a high-level Isaiah.
And, like, their starting lineup is solid. Now, those guys all have to play a ton of time. They're not very deep at all. I mean, Bridges played 51 minutes, I think, in the game.
I heard Scal talking about this after the game, though. Scal's like, well, yeah, he played 51 minutes, but the Celtics, they're all resting on defense because it's just around the perimeter jacking up threes. They're not making anybody work on defense.
Yeah, no, I think those guys can.
Those are an easy 51 minutes was Scal's point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's not even like, you know, Luka Doncic or LeBron James having to play 50 minutes. You know, one guy's 40, one guy might be a little out of shape. Like, those guys can do it for this series.
I mean, to play for
Thibs, you have to.
To play for him, you're conditioned to play 45 minutes
you're
a
used
night.
To it. You're used to it. That's one thing that has carried over with Thibodeau. These guys don't play defense like he probably wants them to, but they play the whole freaking game. So, no, I mean, it's a solid starting five. You have some good high-end players, but it's just the way they play versus the way the Celtics play. I didn't think it would be very competitive.
No, and look,
so far, I'm wrong.
I think the Knicks have a couple of players who defensively are atrocious. I mean, Towns, period, was just atrocious last night.
He just looks so goofy on defense, right? I mean, like, he's a pretty good, like, offensive player. He could score. He grabs rebounds. But then on defense, he's just, like, always on roller skates.
And in that third quarter, he was, like, turning it over and forcing bad shots and, you know, offensive fouls and all the third quarter was brutal. So Towns had a bad night. And Brunson, you could pick on defensively. But along with the Knicks and their ability to come through in the clutch, they did it against Detroit. They did it in game one last night. I think you have to at least keep an eye out for that now and say maybe the Knicks are just good in these fourth quarter spots, clutch and late. I also think they do have some guys who have a little more edge to them than we probably gave it credit for. I highlighted Hart going in. I think you saw it with Ananobi last night. I was mildly impressed. I don't think he's worth 5 first-round picks or whatever they gave up, but I was mildly impressed with Bridges last night. I thought as the game went along, Bridges was better. So they probably have a little more edge than we gave them credit for team-wide, but they have two guys who are just sieves on defense.
Right, but they're also their two guys that score on offense, you know? Like, so you have two guys that are going to usually, and I know Towns didn't shoot it very well, and, you know, OG and Anobi had the great offensive game, but more often than not, it's going to be Brunson and Towns on offense, and then try to make them not such a liability on defense.
We'll get to Tier Tuesday coming up, 11:30, Biggest Losers in Sports. We'll also give you another pair of tickets to the Red Sox and the Braves, May 17th at Fenway Park. Stay tuned. We'll give those away about 20 minutes from now, 11:30, 12:30, and 1:30 here on Jones and Keefe. It started with Greg Hill this morning. It'll continue through WEEI afternoons. Brad is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Brad.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
You know, just to talk about, you know, the
putting it on the coaching staff a little bit. A couple key points in the game. Number one, I think you mentioned it early on, Keith, about not going after, you know, the guys with three fouls and so forth. But even so, the late game, they had the chance to win it at the end of regulation out of a timeout, and the best we do is a fall away, jacked up three by Tatum. Then Brunson's taking the ball in bounds, and the rule of thumb is Brunson's probably going to take the shot. You can't cover him when you deny him the ball as soon as he gets it in. And then we drew up that ridiculous play with like point.
Okay, well, we're going to blame Missoula because they had 6/10 of a second there? Like, I don't really blame Missoula for any of those things that he highlighted. I'm not saying Missoula's blame-free for last night,
yeah.
But Tatum settling for a three is on Tatum. And not covering Brunson, I mean, maybe they weren't prepared in the huddle. I'm going to blame the guys on the floor for that. And that 6/10 of a second, who has a good play for that? Maybe you want to lob to the rim.
The Lakers back in the day with Derek Fisher.
Good call.
That was .4, I think.
You know, but like, who has a good play for that, largely? Maybe you want something going to the rim, I understand, instead of Tatum falling away out of bounds. But I don't really blame Missoula for any of
that. Final play in overtime was very, very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
That was a pain in the ass because they're down three.
Is that a poorly drawn up play or is that Jalen just lobbing it in?
Well, or like not being strong with it. Like, how do you not get a shot off at least there? You just get the ball yanked away from you. So, like, it was a good play by Bridges, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jalen got it.
Jalen was the one that had the ball.
Who lobbed the pass? Who lobbed it in?
Yeah,
Derek White.
That was White
threw it in. Yeah, but you're like, okay, so kind of cross-court pass, and you're like, take the three, and he just takes it from him. Just steals it from him. You're like, ugh.
A little too easy.
Well, it's something. I mean, even the way the night was going, it was for sure going to be a bricked three or an air ball even.
Right.
But like, I at least wanted to see a shot attempt.
617-779-7937. We've talked a lot about their shot selection. Jaylen Brown discussed that after the game. He also maybe kind of sort of took a shot at someone. Missoula, Tatum, give a listen.
In those moments when the other team got momentum, we can't just fire up threes. You know, to break up momentum, you got to get to the free throw line, get to the paint, get to the basket, maybe get a easy two, you know what I mean, hit some free throws, and then maybe the next three-pointer feels a little bit better. I feel like we just settled in the second half a lot, but we'll look at it, and we'll make adjustments.
So
who is he talking about?
I was going to say, he on the one hand does have a little bit of a leg to stand on because he led the team in free throw attempts. He had 10 free throw attempts. He also was 1 of 10 from three. So, like, he might be talking about White or Tatum, but he also should be talking about himself. I mean, that's a guy who really didn't have it. And right away, okay, there were some wide open ones.
But he took 10 threes. 50% of his field goals were twos, though.
No, I know, but he's 1 of 10.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, he definitely settled too much. Everybody settled too much.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Derek White, 16 out of 18 field goals were threes.
That's kind of his game, I feel like, now.
Tatum,
yeah.
15 out of 23. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's talking about himself.
No, I'm sure he's not talking about himself. I'm saying he could be.
Maybe he's talking about Missoula. I think he's talking about Tatum. I mean, that's who I'd be talking about. Derek White's another good one. But, like, who was settling the most? Who was noticeably settling the most? Who wasn't going to the rim? Who you'd expect to go to the rim? I think he's talking about
seconds into the game, Jalen jacked up a three.
So Derek, but I feel like that's
from
Derek,
like the 4-point
yeah,
line.
Yeah. I feel like
I also had
Caitlin Clark.
I also had Porzingis' first three last night, so I was sweating that one out. Yeah,
yeah, but Derek White, I feel like this is kind of his
right
game. Like, and on this team, that's what he does in the regular season. Do you want to know what his field goal attempts in the game, average field goal attempts versus 3-point attempts?
Okay, what does he take a night? I'm going to say.
I'll give you the shots. You tell me how many threes.
Okay.
So he
15?
Takes.
How many threes does he take a night?
He takes 12.6 shots.
Less than I thought. I bet he takes 8 threes.
Yeah, 9.1.
So, wow.
He on average takes three.
So 75% of his shots are from
So
court.
He's kind of doing that.
Okay, so he can yell at White all he wants, but who's settled the most less? White typically does that, to your point. He
I
does
think
it all
Tatum,
season.
I mean, Tatum. Probably Tatum, yeah.
He's talking about Tatum.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't blame anybody, whether it's his teammates, fans, you know, media member, I wouldn't blame anyone for being frustrated with Tatum last night. That's frustrating.
Now, does Brown take it to the level of, hey, maybe Missoula should say something to everybody, specifically Tatum? Or does he just think Tatum should inherently do it? Or, like, why doesn't he say it? These guys have been teammates forever.
Maybe he does. You mean in the media?
Or no,
directly
no.
to Tatum?
Brown, during the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why can't you say that in a huddle? Well, guys, let's get in there.
I guess I don't know that he doesn't, but yeah, it doesn't seem
maybe
like
maybe he does. Got it. Bombs away. It's like, yeah, no problem.
Doesn't seem like anybody was saying it last night. So who's Jaylen Brown talking about? Who you frustrated with? Who's he frustrated with? 617-779-7937.
I mean, the fourth quarter, Tatum was 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3.
Yeah, his only makes in the fourth were 2 free throws.
Whereas Jaylen Brown only missed 1 3 in overtime. White and Holiday were both 1 for 4. They were 2 for 15 from 3 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But guys, you didn't have it.
Yeah, maybe.
You didn't have it.
Maybe try a little closer.
Sure.
You know?
You're allowed to get in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Knicks don't have like a lot of resistance. They don't have like Patrick Ewing anymore.
No, we
don't have Mount Matumbo.
I think we properly highlighted that going in. They do not have a lot of resistance,
no.
Which makes it even more frustrating.
Brutal.
I know you said you're not worried that it's a series yet, Keith, Celtics and Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to give you a series. I think they already have given you through one game, certainly a series. But I thought it would be six. To me, that's some pushback.
Yeah.
Celtics have not trailed in a postseason series since 2 years ago, Eastern Conference Final against the Miami Heat. So they're already in a spot where they really haven't been, at least at all, last year or so far in this postseason. Are you concerned at all about their chances to repeat? If you're not concerned about the series, are you concerned at all about the chances to repeat? And I'll just, in fairness, point out the Cavs also lost game one at home.
Yeah.
The Thunder, I stayed up for this last night. I watched that Gordon 3, which I did not see coming. But Gordon and the Nuggets took down the OKC Thunder last night. So those teams are also trailing 0-1. Minnesota and Golden State hasn't started yet. Are you getting nervous at all about their chances to repeat?
No, not yet. I mean, I think we knew this team was capable of a night where they just couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. And you just didn't think it was necessarily going to be a game where they're up by 20 and then that really comes to bite them. So, yeah, I mean, last year they weren't trailing in any series and they never lost two games in a series. And so to be down 1-0 already in the second round is a little bit of a different spot to be in. But, I mean, is it going to be the Pacers and the Nuggets winning their series? I don't think so. Like, I kind of would still bet, and I'm sure Vegas still is pretty heavily leaning towards all the favorites still winning their series. Now, that number came down. I think Terp tweeted it out.
Buying opportunities, what you're saying?
Not yet.
No.
So they were minus 800 yesterday, the Celtics, just to win the series.
Was it 800 or 8,000? It was 800.
No, 800.
800, sorry. Got it.
8,000? Like, why even play the game? But 800.
I think everybody had them sweeping just about.
Yeah, true. And so this was just a series win. So it could be 4, 5, 6, 7, doesn't matter. Just win the series, minus 800. So not worth betting. After one game and one loss, it's now minus 360. Still not really a buying opportunity, but I'll tell you, if they lose tomorrow night, I'm all in. Send all my chips in.
Send them out. Would they be plus money? If they were down 0-2 against the Knicks, would they even be plus money for the series?
No.
Probably not.
I don't think so. 0-3, you'd have to be.
Yeah.
But 0-2, no.
Not this matchup.
All right, who do you think is most likely to be eliminated? The Cavs, Thunder, or Celtics?
Cavs?
Probably Cavs.
I think Cavs.
And maybe because they're the worst of the three teams, and maybe the Pacers are a little bit tougher than we give them credit for. But, yeah, I would agree. Like, I still think, like, I like Jokic. That's why obviously I like Jokic. Jokic is the best player in the world. But I thought the Nuggets were going to beat the Clippers. I thought maybe they'd give the Thunder a series. But the Thunder, I think, are still going to win that series, just like I think the Celtics are still going to win this one.
A couple of texts here. 617-779-7937. Guys, it's comical listening to repeat or even three-peat talk when they're struggling with the Knicks.
No,
please.
Somebody told me it's going to be a C-peat.
C's Pete. Nice.
Yeah, C's Pete. So mark that down.
There's also this. Jones, STFU.
Oh.
Not everything is a fight. Jalen's just saying, as a team, they need to drive. Well, who's he? My question was, who's he talking about?
You probably got.
I didn't say it was a fight. I said, who's he talking about? I think he's talking
roll
about
around in the dirt and fight each other.
I think he's talking about Tatum. That was my question, Texter. Who do you think he's talking? When he's saying it, who do you think he's talking about? Maybe your answer is himself. Maybe he's yelling at the coach. Maybe he's talking about Tatum. Who do you think he's talking about? Was the question. I didn't say it was a fight.
All right.
Just he's frustrated with something. So
he
what's
is.
He frustrated with? They should be frustrated after that game. Personally,
I'd
I'm
be
frustrated.
With, he couldn't get a shot off at the end of the overtime.
I'm frustrated with watching Tatum. Personally, is he on our Biggest Losers in Sports list or is he not?
No,
he can't be a loser who won.
No,
we have people who won championships on the losers list. Keith,
he's not.
Okay,
he's not on the list.
Are you sure? Can we write him in?
Well, I mean, there's never. You never say never. I mean, the tiers are fluid.
Okay.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keefe.
Look out!
It's Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. It's presented by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. A lot of talk today on the show about the Celtics dropping game one. Their poor shot selection, their star not showing up in the fourth quarter, Jason Tatum, 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter. He did make a shot in overtime, so credit to him. I don't want to take that away from him.
Yeah.
But the Celtics now trail in the postseason for the first time since the playoffs 2 years ago when they were eliminated by the Miami Heat. How do they respond? How does Tatum respond? We can get into it. Plus, who you blaming for the Celtics being down one game? I'd start with Tatum. A lot of people blaming Mazzulla. Twitch chat, text line, think we're letting Jaylen Brown off the hook, so you can jump in there. But it's not only a tier for Tuesday, or a tier Tuesday, rather, here on Jones and Keefe. It is also a two for Tuesday.
What is it?
It's a two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Okay, caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. If you have today's code word, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Braves May 17th at Fenway Park. And caller 9 right now, contest line, 617-931-0937. Give the code word. You'll get two tickets, Red Sox, Braves, May 17th, Fenway Park. Two more chances on our show to win at 1230 and 130. You'll have opportunities on WEEI afternoons as well. But, Keith,
yes.
Not just a two for Tuesday, also a tier Tuesday. We're tearing off the biggest losers in sports today.
That's right. And this is sports losers. Now, some of them may also be losers in their personal life, but we're going to let you decide that. This is more them as athletes, competitors.
Sports losers, possibly real life losers
also,
as well.
Also, decent chance losers in real life, but I can't really speak to that. We don't know the whole picture. And this was sort of inspired last week by Giannis getting bounced out of the first round once again. And we're like, man, there are a lot of guys that, and like really good players and Hall of Famers even, but you just kind of label them as a loser.
Yeah.
And so we have, as of right now, four tiers, although again, always fluid. We can add or subtract tiers as we go. But as a baseline for this, we have the top tier, which would be the gloat.
Loser! You're a loser!
The greatest losers of all time.
So not the goat, the gloat.
The gloat.
Okay, good.
The gloat. Tier down, which could be a busy tier, but losers who won.
It's not about winning. It's about fun.
And I keep forgetting. We have Tatum on this or we don't?
We do not.
Oh, okay.
He is not included in this. Because if you want to put Tatum on there, I'm putting LeBron on there. And so we're not putting either one of them
okay,
on there.
Okay, got it.
But so losers who won, which again could be busy because some people would say, how can you guys call Giannis a loser? He won a title. It's like,
yeah. No, just listen.
Look
to
at
him.
All the other seasons. Listen to him post game.
Just listen to him. He's a loser. I don't know. Yeah.
The third tier down, Stinky. Stinky.
P.U.
Stinks.
Cannot win with him.
Stinks. It's not as bad as, you know, being the gloat.
Yeah.
Or being
or a loser who won. Even.
Yeah, it's just stinky.
Yeah.
And then the bottom tier, lovable loser.
I loved it.
So a loser nonetheless, but lovable. Sort of like a charming loser.
Yeah.
But still regarded as a loser. So I have a series of names here. And let's toss them out there. Ready? We'll start with Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod. Famously a loser. But a loser who won.
He did win a chance. I think he's got to be losers who won, right?
It's not about winning. It's about fun.
Now,
well, like another guy on the list, he is sort of, he's not just a loser who won, but he's a loser who joined a team and a lot of players that had already won. So does that change your math?
I mean, he would be in the running for, you
gloat?
Know. Well, if he never won,
yeah,
yes,
but he won.
I think we got to put him on losers who won.
Losers who won.
We got to recognize the change. He wasn't just like a hanger-on at the end.
No.
You know, completely ring chasing. I mean, he did have to actually play well in that postseason. So
yeah,
I'll give it to him.
All right, loser who won,
but no doubt a loser.
A-Rod.
Yeah.
Okay. Peyton Manning. Now, maybe a controversial one because some would say he has two Super Bowls.
He's definitely a loser who won. Again, a crowded tier apparently, but he's definitely a loser who won. But Keith.
Yeah.
He was not. He had so many early losses, so many one and dones, so many choke jobs in big spots. Now, as I like to point out with Manning, he did, because Patriots fans don't talk like this at all.
No.
He did have a winning record head-to-head against Belichick and Brady.
It hurts my brain.
He did.
Yeah, I know.
But I view
now,
him.
Now, he got carried to the second Super Bowl in Denver, like Weekend at Bernie style.
Yep.
He was horrible.
He was not good.
He threw more picks than touchdowns that year. He got benched for Brock Osweiler.
But he was
the defense
good.
Was nasty.
He was good against the Patriots in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
At least the first half of the AFC title game. First half.
Okay.
Give him that.
All right.
And the AFC title game before that, I know they lost that Super Bowl to Seattle. Yeah. He shredded the Pats in that game.
Right.
He's a loser who won twice.
Okay, loser who won
but
twice.
But he's a loser
it's
who
not
won.
About winning. It's about fun.
See, need his own tier loser who won twice.
It's not about winning. It's about fun.
Loser who won twice. Okay. Dan Marino. Often regarded as the greatest football player never to win a Super Bowl, or at least the greatest quarterback to never win a Super Bowl, appeared in one early in his career and then never got back there. had a lot of records.
Gloat?
Is he gloat? Dan Marino?
I think
loser! You're a loser!
I mean, he only got to it once, as you just said.
Yeah.
Like, that makes him an extra big loser.
I would say so.
He didn't win. He only got to the game once for a guy who was, you know, regarded as one of the most gifted passers in the history of the sport. And quarterbacks take you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. Gloat.
Buffalo Bills.
Loser! You're a loser!
Now, the whole squad, the whole franchise, from tip to tail, are they gloat?
I view them as like a lovable, harmless loser, but you view them differently.
Yeah, well, now you're starting to get some of the Bills fans of this recent vintage. Like, there was a stretch there where I'm with you. Like, post-Jim Kelly, they had the Super Bowl trauma. They lost all those Super Bowls. Then after that, they were a basement-dwelling team, and you're like, oh, I do feel bad for them.
Yeah.
But now they're almost walking around like they've won anything. And it's like, you guys haven't even made the Super Bowl
they're
yet.
They're peacocking around in those Zubas.
Yeah, like, they're kind of like, well, we got Josh Allen. It's like, okay, you can't beat Mahomes. So, like, what does that even mean?
So where do you want to put? I would vote lovable, but where would you put him?
Gloat.
They're gloat?
Okay, yeah, I would think so.
Billy, we're going to need
Billy,
you.
Bills?
I know Billy's dealing with two for Tuesday calls back there, but we're going to need
I'm going to say they're lovable losers.
Okay.
Because, like, after, like, four in a row, you have a little sympathy.
They're just so harmless.
Right, okay. Exactly.
I know they're much better than the Patriots now, but, like, the Chiefs fans are like, these cute little fellas.
All right.
They're just trying to break through and win an AFC title game, these poor harmless little guys. Yeah, it's the same way we used to view them. When the Patriots were good, our perspective on the Bills has changed because the Patriots suck so much now, but all the good teams still view the Bills the same way. They're like, you don't have to worry about these guys.
All right.
I loved it.
Okay, fine. That's fine. That counts. All right. Let's go with the next one. Put them in lovable losers. How about Joe Thornton?
I think, he's not a loser who won.
Loser! You're a loser!
I don't find
24 years in the NHL.
I don't find him to be lovable. So he's either stinky or gloat. I want to go gloat.
I think he might be gloat. I think you have to put him in gloat.
Somewhere.
The team won a few years after he was gone.
Yeah, well, I tried to point this out to our good pal Razor.
That ended the relationship.
He didn't appreciate it.
No.
But I tried to point this out to our good
relationship.
Sometimes you get rid of the greatest loser of all time. To open up the pathway
winners.
To winning, correct.
To bring in some winners.
Thank you.
Guy Bergeron.
Thank you. Bingo, yes, you got it.
All right, this one could be controversial. Colin Montgomery.
So,
Monty.
Maybe I need to plead ignorance on this. Is he
the golfer?
No, I know, but what? So he never won a major?
Never won a major.
So he's not even a loser who won.
No.
Okay.
Stinky.
I would vote stinky.
Stinky.
Cannot win with him.
Like, I would think, and maybe I know we're the same age, but, like, I probably wasn't watching as much golf at the time.
Yeah.
But I would think of, like, Sergio Garcia as, like, a big loser who kind of backed into
a win
there.
But then he started winning then,
didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he won one.
Oh, won.
So, Colin Montgomery. Stinky?
Stinky.
Stinky.
Stinky for Colin Montgomery.
That works.
Danica Patrick. Now, here's something you might not have known about Danica Patrick.
I'm going to need info, yeah.
Zero NASCAR Cup Series wins. Zero NASCAR Xfinity Series wins.
Yeah, now,
two poles.
Two poles, no wins.
No wins. Loser.
Loser. Absolutely a loser. I don't think this is a sexist thing. We're talking about men on this list the same way.
It would have been sexist if we didn't include her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing today, boys.
I think you get it. I didn't realize we had that.
And girls. What the hell's wrong with that guy?
I don't know. Not inclusive.
And girls.
We're the inclusive ones.
Maybe
we're including her on the list.
Just stinky?
Well.
Or do you think it's...
She also dated Aaron Rodgers.
So does that make her a lovable
loser? You're a loser.
Oh, gloat?
Can she be gloat? I mean, no wins.
Oh, we didn't put Aaron Rodgers on this list. We put Aaron Rodgers on this list?
Yeah, loser. You're a loser.
Jam Rodgers in there.
Put both of them on there? Yeah. Put them together.
Yeah. Put them together.
Danica and Rodgers.
Rodgers. Where are we putting them? Stinky?
Both at gloat.
Oh, they're gloat.
Gloat.
Great. Gloat.
Yeah, Rodgers probably should be gloat. I know he's a loser who won, but like... So many bad playoff losses in and around that time. Like, that was such a weird one-off. That really was. And then what he did to the Jets.
Right. And he's a real-life loser.
Yeah.
Gloat.
Giannis.
Loser who won?
Just loser who won.
It's not about winning. It's about fun.
He can move up, though.
He can.
He can move up.
Kevin Durant. Now, he won twice. So, like Peyton Manning.
Loser! You're a loser!
Loser who won twice. Yeah,
should we make that its own tier?
Maybe we should.
Okay.
Losers who won twice.
So, is that above losers who won?
Yeah, you won two.
Losers won twice.
Yeah.
Losers who won once.
Oh, wait. Or is it below?
I don't know.
No, the losers
below.
Yeah, it'd be below.
Losers who won twice is below?
Yeah. the bigger loser on the scale is the one who only won once.
You got to explain tiers to me. Okay, yeah, losers who...
This is why we did power ranking, Jones.
Yeah, Jones wants to do power rankings.
Exactly.
Right, right,
well,
right.
You're handing out rock hard fives and soft fives.
That's
and,
true.
You know, I mean, that's basically,
that's true.
It's basically a ranking.
All right, Peyton and Durant. So this is the thing with Durant's two titles, to me, are probably worse than Giannis' one. Because at least Giannis, he was the clear-cut guy.
Yeah, he did
the Bucks had never won. It was his team.
I fully agree. Yeah. I do agree.
But he did win twice.
But for the purposes of these tiering system,
I gotcha.
I would order it that way.
Patrick Ewing?
Well?
What do you think of Patrick Ewing?
Between him and the next guy on the list, can we talk about these guys together?
Carmelo?
Yeah. So they
Carmelo
both
Knicks?
They both,
loser! You're a loser!
They both won in college.
Yeah.
Carmelo's got just a neck full of gold medals on top of it. So like,
he's handing out gold medals.
Now, I think it's nonsense to like really count those, but when we're grading, can you really be the biggest loser?
The show?
I'm sorry, the gloat, rather. Oh. I'm sorry. Can you really be
I'm
the
super confused now.
The greatest loser of all time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you do mix in a couple of wins in there,
maybe
should we
more
just,
stinky.
Or should we just
cannot
discount those altogether?
Because Ewing was also on the Dream Team. Now, I know they were won every game by 100 points, but like they got gold medals and they have college titles.
I think we put them in stinky.
Yeah.
They're losers.
I'm with you on that.
We're not saying they're not losers, but we got to recognize even their minor championships in there.
All right, what about these two guys that I think are somewhat related? Or these three, even? They might be in different tiers, but I'm going to throw them all at the same time.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Chris Paul.
Loser! You're a loser!
Okay. Chris Paul is a gloat.
Gloat, I agree. CP3.
I would separate Westbrook and Harden into stinky, personally.
I have no problem with that.
League MVPs. Paul was never and this is an individual thing, not a team thing. I saw the text line earlier. It was like, Harden has to be the greatest loser of all time. I think Paul's a greater loser than that. Should we separate Westbrook and Harden?
Well, I also think that those guys...
Did Harden ever make a finals without...
An NBA finals?
Without not on that Thunder team?
No, Harden made a Western...
Oh, I'm sorry. He did make that. I forgot about that one, yes.
He made a Western Conference finals with the Rockets.
Yep. Where he
with
missed
Paul.
Where he missed like 27 straight threes.
Thank you. He missed a million threes with Paul.
With Paul.
Should we put them together?
No, maybe Harden should actually be on the top tier because he's also so particularly bad in game sevens.
Harden, he Paul, should be on top. Gloat. Westbrook is just stinky.
Cannot win with him.
I think Westbrook is an underappreciated player, but he's a loser. I mean, I'll say that.
What about wrestling legend The Big Show?
Now, I got a little nervous when I saw this written in the document, Keith. I wasn't quite sure where we were going.
No, I'm not
with
taking
this.
A shot at Glenn.
Okay.
I'm talking about The Big Show, who was famously.
I was personally sweating that out. So this is a wrestler?
Yeah, he's got good size. Okay. He is 4-9 all time at WrestleMania.
Not great.
I mean,
that is four wins.
I loved it.
9 losses at Mania.
Are those championships?
They're big fights. He lost to Floyd Money Mayweather, for God's sakes.
That's a gag job.
Kind of a loser.
So where is he?
Well, I just think when you saw this guy, you're thinking he's going to be one of the world's greatest champions, and he really never was.
Was he lovable?
You think lovable loser, Big Show?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll put him lovable loser.
Okay. He's a loser, but he's a lovable loser.
I loved it.
Okay. He and the Bills. Last one on our list. I'm sure we're forgetting some, so feel free to text them in. Or
I do see one that's being written in a lot that I also noticed wasn't on here.
Oh, Barkley?
Should we get Barkley on there?
Lovable loser.
I loved it.
Lovable loser.
Lovable loser. Barkley.
That's perfect spot for Barkley. Lovable loser.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Maybe gloat.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because he was so good, but also the way he went about it and him pouting on the bench against the Pats.
Loser!
I think Patriots fans, like specifically when he's calling out, you know, there's classy ways to win and lose, and you have to highlight that after games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's another game where Phillip Rivers is playing without I don't even like Rivers, but Rivers is playing without an ACL, and LaDainian Tomlinson can't be bothered to go into the game because he's chilly.
I agree.
Like, I mean, that's just soft as can be. I would put Tomlinson on the gloat.
I think we have another perfect list or tier. So this is what we came up with. The gloat, greatest losers of all time.
Yeah.
Dan Marino, Joe Thornton, Danica Patrick, Aaron Rodgers, Chris Paul, James Harden, LaDainian Tomlinson.
It's a lot of gloats.
It's a lot of gloats.
Yeah.
Losers who won, Alex Rodriguez and Giannis.
That's it?
Losers who won twice.
Oh, this is why. Right, right, right.
Peyton Manning, Kevin Durant.
Perfect.
Stinky, Colin Montgomery, Patrick Ewing, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook.
Great.
And lovable losers, the Buffalo Bills, the Big Show, and Charles Barkley. I think we kind of nailed it.
Yeah, and you know, Tatum, you're on notice. Depending on how this postseason goes, you're on notice because we have multiple time champions on this list.
True.
Just FYI.
True.
Okay. As Keith said, just another perfect tier Tuesday.
Wow.
Here on Jones.
It always comes together.
And Keith, it really does. Yep. It doesn't always feel like it in real time, but then you look at it and you're like, knocked it out of the park.
We really should have LeBron on this list.
Yeah.
Loser well, who won time.
Four times. Four times. Three times.
Three. Three. Yeah, okay. 617-779-7937. Those were the tiers. How'd we do? And we should mix in a quick moment on the lottery last night.
Oh, man.
Bruins are picking seventh. Didn't go how they planned. Did you watch any of this? Did you like it? What does it mean for the Bees? We'll get to it next.
Ball number three is 12.
So 12, 7, 11, and now 12. What does that do? Okay, Nashville, you are out. Bruins fans out. Ducks and Rangers. Look at the Chicago Blackhawks, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Flyers. All even at 18.2%. Wow.
The fourth ball is number 13.
Holy shnikes.
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Bruins picking seventh after the draft lottery last night. That did not go according to plan. Speaking of losers, Keith.
Yeah, I would say so.
Didn't shake out very well for them.
Holy shnikes.
As a Celtics fan, used to the lottery not breaking your way.
Yeah.
Like, famously, many times. Although they've usually did a pretty good job at making trades after the fact.
Yep.
At least one time very specifically. So, yeah, this was as low as they could go, was seventh, right? So they had the fifth worst record.
Mm-hmm.
They had whatever it was, 8.5% chance at the number one pick. They don't get it. I was also looking something up. I don't know. I don't claim to know any of these prospects.
Oh, me
but
neither.
I was looking at McLaughlin, one site.
McLaughlin tried to coach us up.
He knows them all.
I'm still clueless.
No, but yeah. I'll paint it this way for you. One of the sites I was looking at, they kind of, believe it or not, fittingly on a tier Tuesday, they tiered the prospects.
Nice.
Top tier, two players.
Yep.
Which is what McLaughlin told us, right? Two players in the top tier. Tier two, four players.
Perfect.
Therefore, the Bruins will have the top choice of with the third tier player.
You're going to need somebody to drop
to. There's a drop off, apparently. There's like two great players, four very good players, and then the rest. And then they will end up getting the rest.
Classic Bruins. Yep. It's called Bruins, is what it is.
Oh, my God.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We tiered off the biggest losers in sports. You can see those at Jones and Keefe on social media. We'll have those up shortly. You can also seek it out on the Audacy app, Audacy. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. A couple of submissions here, Keith. I'll give you a bunch. You tell me if anything jumps out. Doc could be a loser who won. Twitch
Doc
came up with that.
For sure. Good
that's
one.
That's actually a great one.
I agree.
Tuca.
Yeah.
Iverson.
I wouldn't with Iverson, but I get it. If we're including some of those other guys, I guess.
But if we're putting Barkley on this other Malone, we got a lot of Malone.
So Malone probably deserves to be on there if like Ewing and Barkley
and
are on
Malone
there.
And Barkley to me are the same where they were trying to chase rings at the end. Malone in L.A., Barkley in Houston.
Yeah,
and they joined winning teams and still couldn't win.
So teams that had already won recently.
Maybe we got to jam
that's
Malone
true.
On that list. How about Randy Moss? That one came in too.
So I don't. I would. Well, I love Randy Moss, but so Randy Moss and Barry Sanders, I don't include because I feel like as great as they were. It's hard to impact that as a wide receiver and a running back.
Who's got a better case out of the two?
Probably Moss.
Definitely Moss.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Barry Sanders was not on a lot of great teams, and they just, like, you watch that Barry Sanders documentary. They got kind of close. Was it 91 they made the NFC Championship game? Then they were, like, moving on from a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They were a disaster. Like, what a horrible franchise. So I don't hold that against them. Moss played on a bunch of teams. He was in one Super Bowl. He was in an NFC Championship game, or a couple of them, actually. Played in the Super Bowl with the Niners, too, didn't he? Like at the end of his career?
Yeah, I think that's right. Did he go to that team
in 13
with Jimmy G? Yeah.
And they lost. No.
It was the Ravens one.
Oh,
he was on the Kaepernick team.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was on that team. But yeah, he probably has a better – I wouldn't put him on there, but he has a better chance than Barry Sanders.
Okay. So there's more losers. Again, those are at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You watch any of the lottery last night, Keefe?
I didn't.
I didn't watch it live because it was head-to-head
with
the Celtics.
What time was it? I was going to say, okay.
It started basically the same exact time, 7 o'clock.
So I didn't watch it.
I flipped in. They were interviewing prospects. I didn't stick with it. So I watched some of it this morning. We were playing it there. Bucci was calling out the different combinations. I wanted to hate this with every fiber of my being.
Holy shnikes.
Trying to follow it on Twitter last night, Keefe.
Yeah.
It sounded so dumb. And honestly, it was pretty confusing and convoluted to start.
A lot of numbers.
But once it got going, once they picked the three balls, so they did a first draw, then a second draw for the first and second pick, and they did four ping pong ball combinations.
Okay.
By the time they got the three ping pong balls up there, something clicked, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see everybody's combination. They laid it out well. it was like people like watching on the news the lottery. They like watching the ping pong ball.
Oh, I got to see my numbers.
Sucked up and see what the number is. People like it.
Yeah, I got to see them.
I actually think the NHL is onto something, and I wanted to hate it. Now, they can drag it out way less. It was like 30 seconds every time with just watching the ping pong balls rattling around in there. They placed each ping pong ball in, counted them off 1 through 14. Like, they could streamline it.
Yeah.
But
there's something there.
I think the NHL actually stumbled into something, and I was ready to mock the crap out of this. I actually think it was a decent watch, because here's why.
Okay.
Because if you just do the way the NBA does it, and you flip over the card and you're 14th in the lottery, like Pittsburgh would be a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, I think, is drafting 10th or something like that. I forget where they're drafting.
All right.
But when it came down to the last ball, they had two chances. Like, the Bruins were already out by this point. The Penguins had two chances to get the first pick. So for a moment, even though you're going to draft 10th, you had the little thrill of being like, if it comes up a 10 or a 1 or whatever the combos were, we're going to have the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I think the NHL actually figured something out.
Okay. So maybe usually they got to steal ideas from other people.
No,
maybe
very much
they
so.
Actually have
They're like Missoula stealing bad ideas from the Pistons.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know if you're ready for this. Might break your brain. Should the NFL have a draft lottery? Should the NFL non-playoff teams be thrown into a lottery, whether it's weighted or not?
I would say no.
You like just straight up worst record as the number one
pick? But after last year's experience, meaning the Patriots winning that game and having teams tanking left and right. I mean, week 18 last year was a joke, actually, now that we're talking it out.
That's what I'm
maybe.
Saying. Yeah,
maybe.
I think so, because I think you have teams that are just – now, you might get that anyway, and that's the problem with, like, the weighted lottery is because the team would say, well, we're still going to throw the game so we can have a 40% chance at it as opposed to, a 10% chance at it. We're 35% chance, well, all the different numbers.
As you just said, it's never going to be perfect, but maybe
I think it'd be interesting. And I also think like that way, maybe
week
the number
18,
one.
Yeah. Teams last year were trying to throw games left and right. The Patriots and Bills were right in the middle of it. So
wouldn't that have been fun? Like if the Patriots were in a draft lottery last year?
Well, if they're going to do it like this, I think yes.
Yeah.
I honestly think the NBA should steal this from the NHL. I think they should do what the NHL did.
Maybe
you don't implement it this
go-round.
Can they
freeze envelopes though?
No.
If they can't freeze envelopes, they're not going to want to do it.
I think they went a little too far in being too transparent and showing you the whole process and making sure that it wasn't rigged. But as you're watching, you're like, okay, this can go faster. You can do this a lot faster. So I don't know. I didn't stick around for the second draw. I rewatched it this morning. I didn't watch it live. I was watching the Celtics, but I actually thought it was a decent watch.
Okay.
Bruins get the short end of the stick, though, as it were. They'll be drafting 7th, so we can go back to not caring about that. 617-779-7937. Thanks, Joe.
By the way, if you want to take a look at our tiers, Terp has made them. Also, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram, you can see the tiers, the loser tier.
They're looking pretty good.
They look pretty great, yeah.
Losers who won twice.
Right.
And then
stinky and lovable loser.
Work your way right down the list. That's up on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Let's get back to the Celtics. Game one loss last night. Is it time to worry? Do we have a series against the New York Knicks? We'll get to it next.